today's meditation is a little bit more intense than our normal meditations are. This one is probably for the more experienced meditators, those who have already done a lot of letting go. This is probably not a good one for those who have a lot of trauma present in their bodies and minds today, who might be triggered by dwelling on events that could have been traumatic or negative. But for those who have done a decent amount of work, who have let go of a lot, and ideally who have tasted oneness already, if you've had awakening experiences of some kind, where when we talk about oneness, you know what we're talking about, this could be a great meditation for you to aid you in clearing attachments that cause suffering from your body. And basically what we're going to be doing is identifying some really strong desires and aversions and sitting with those for a little while, learning to love them. Because there's this interesting thing about desire that always goes hand in hand with aversion. To desire one thing strongly is to be averse to its opposite. And this is the heart of suffering. Before we actually get into the meditation, I'd like to just share a quick example of how this exercise played out in my own life. I, like many of you, on the night of November 9th, 2016, was not feeling great. Donald Trump was elected to be the president of the United States, and many of us were horrified. I felt fear and despair in a way that I hadn't in a long time. Would he lead us headlong into World War III? Would he speed up an already out of control global climate change? Would my girls grow up in a world that was safe for them? At that time, it was my normal spiritual practice just to witness thoughts as they came and not to avert my gaze, to simply let it be. And usually the thoughts and feelings would pass. But for some reason, these particular thoughts and feelings wouldn't pass like normally. In the following days, they kept coming back again and again. I'd let them go, and again they'd come back. And it was like my ego was getting snagged on something. So I decided to take a more proactive meditation approach and simply allow my mind to follow the thoughts all the way to their source. Like my partner Lisa, when we watch a scary movie, she covers her hands with her eyes for much of the movie. Most of us tend to avert our gaze from that which we find undesirable or uncomfortable. We don't want to think about it or face it because it causes pain in us to look directly at it. And with Trump's election, I found that not looking wasn't actually happening, wasn't helping me. Not looking didn't create any peace in me. It was just as painful as looking, actually. So I let my mind roam free through the thoughts and mazes of fear that it had, with the intention of not averting my gaze from any of it. And my mind really took me to some wild places. I imagined the worst possible outcomes, you know, nuclear war, humanity slowly and painfully going extinct, the end of human civilization as we know it. And then as I kind of just saw this barren earth there in my imagination, I just sat with it, in this empty, lifeless planet Earth. I felt the pain of it, the sadness of it, the weight of it. I allowed my tears to flow freely. And as I sat there in the stillness and pain of that practice, and it took a while, I found that some questions eventually began to surface. Why was I afraid of the end of human civilization? Because I didn't want everyone to die? And why didn't I want everyone to die? Was it because there was still something in my ego that was afraid of death? Why? Who did I think I was? It's like Ramana Maharshi reportedly said to his grieving devotees as he was dying, "You say I'm going away, but where can I go?" If I identify not primarily with this ego or this body, but with this that gives rise to all of it, then the Hindu sage was correct. Where could anyone ever go if they in their fullness have always already been right here? So I sat with the end of the world, the end of me, everyone and everything I had ever loved. And I felt the sadness and the joke. Because again, where could any of it really go? And who am I to know that it hasn't already happened before, that it won't happen again, or that it's not already happening now? And I remembered how every life is so precious because, like any good song, film, or adventure, we know that it eventually comes to an end. And so I let go. Who among you can add a single hour to his life by worrying about tomorrow? Why bother? It's going to end somehow. If this is it, so be it. And guess what? That was the last of the deep anxiety I felt about Donald Trump. It didn't ever come back. I mean, sure, I can still get annoyed and angry at the stupid, destructive things he says or does. And yes, I will still take an active role to resist any racist demagoguery as much as I can, but I'm no longer imprisoned by those feelings. Donald Trump does not hold the keys to my happiness or my contentment anymore. So today's meditation is going to be a sort of developed version of that. And again, some of you have desires and aversions that are too deep and complicated to handle by yourself listening to a recorded meditation, and you should probably process them in the care of a professional in the presence of somebody else. But again, if you feel like you've done a lot of poking around through the attic already, but you keep finding a couple of snags, this could be a helpful exercise for you. So go ahead and find a comfortable place. Take a few breaths. Be present with the breath. Now just kind of scan your mind, and maybe it'll pop up as something, a present anxiety, or maybe it'll show up in the form of a memory of recognizing something that you've had anxiety or fear or some sort of really consistent negative emotion about. It could be a relationship, it could be a fear of something going wrong. Just take a moment and see if you can find that snag, that thing that keeps popping up. And what you're looking for is either a strong desire or a strong aversion within your mind. And again, desires and aversions generally go hand in hand. To strongly desire one thing is to have a strong aversion to its opposite. So if you identify that you strongly desire companionship, for instance, you may find that you also have a strong aversion to loneliness. So as you look through your internal landscape, for either side of those coins. What you're afraid of, what you're passionate about, what you're most offended by, what keeps you up at night. What doubt can't you shake out of your mind, no matter how hard you try? You know, whether it's the possibility that God doesn't exist, a fear of death, an inability to forgive someone who harmed you, whatever it is. Identify it and then just kind of sit with it for a second. See if you can look at it directly. A lot of times our anxiety is that desire to look away. But see if you can look right at it. I'm afraid of death, or whatever it is. And just don't avert your gaze. And see where it takes you. You can leave this meditation at any time if it gets too intense. But if you can keep your gaze on it, if you ask the question, what are you afraid of exactly about this? Why exactly do you hate this? What's underneath it? What is it in you that is responding in the way that it is responding? And what does that response feel like in your body? Stay here as long as you're able. Again, remembering to be kind and gentle to yourself. No need to put yourself in a state of hyperarousal or disassociation or anything that might lead you to a place that you can't handle without a professional. But knowing that, see if you can let yourself look deeper and deeper into what you've been hiding from. What's hiding from you? Let me ask you this. That thing that's creating this desire aversion, that's causing this snag, this rift in your internal landscape. What is it? Is it real? Is it a story? And what is that story based on? And even if it happens, and it became this reality, this moment, what would it be other than the oneness? What would it be other than God at play in love? And for some of us that grew up with an image of God as something out there, something other, that's a horrifying thought. It sounds like some sort of sadistic God out there. But if you've seen through the illusion of a separation between yourself and your source, what could there ever be that wasn't you being? What could there ever be that wasn't perfect? And I'm not asking you to believe that. But I'm asking you to look at what your aversion, at that thing that you have an aversion to or a strong desire of. and see if you can look at the other side of the coin. If it's an aversion, look at the desire. If it's a desire, look at the aversion. And see if eventually any of its strength, any of its vividness, its sharp pain begins to dull at all as you see it in a greater context. What could you ever lose? Where could you ever go if you don't identify with the ego? The ego has plenty to lose. And grasping to not lose it is the suffering that you're feeling. That ego story. So can you look at it directly in the eyes and see that it's your own eyes? What else could it ever be? Would you dare to surrender to whatever is? Sort of like that old prayer, "Thy will be done." Would you dare to be okay with whatever is? Because whatever is all there is. Whatever is I am. The desire and the aversion is a turning from this, is a reduction of love. There's a paradox in there. Because often our aversions and our desires are tied to our experience of love. We want good things to happen for those we love, for ourselves. But when we cling to the desire for how we think the world should be, rather than what it is, we suffer. And this may be too soon for some of you. We might need to sit longer with just the pain of it for a while first, but as the pain begins to subside and you begin to be able to surrender to this, perhaps you could even go deeper into it and find the love that's there. Not just putting up with this, not just surrendering to it, but actually loving this, not as a separate subject, not as a splintered being, but as God loving God. Pouring herself out again and again, moment to moment. There's nothing to be afraid of, love. There's nothing to be afraid of. It's just this. It always has been. It It always will be. So I encourage you to sit with this as long as you need. You might need to do it more than one time. But as these snags, these knots, become untied, you'll find that your experience of this continues to deepen and broaden and get fuller, richer, more beautiful. But it's not easy work. It's painful. My heart is with you. My heart is your heart. Namaste.